Good morning, and welcome to the NextEd Group Fiscal Year 2023 Results Presentation Conference. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question-and-answer session, and you may enter your questions by clicking the hand in the top right corner of the webcast player. I would like to advise all participants that this call is being recorded. Thank you. Kylie Ramstein, Managing Partner, Investor Relations, GRA Cosway, will moderate the questions. I'd now like to welcome Glenn Elith, CEO, and Michael Fay, CFO of NextEd, to begin the conference. Glenn, over to you.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. Thanks for joining us today to go through NextEd Group's FY 2023 results presentation. I will take us straight to slide 3 of the results pack, which is a brief executive summary. There's quite a lot of information that we do have to talk to you about today, and as pointed out, there's also gonna be a Q&A session. I just wanted to touch on upfront a couple of important points that we're planning on talking through with you. Firstly, we are delighted to report record financial performance in FY 2023. The NextEd team are thrilled with the result, and I can assure you it's been the result of a lot of hard work and lots of determination over the course of the FY 2023 financial year. Secondly, we are confident in our FY 2024 guidance, which is for continued growth for NextEd Group. So again, I'll touch on that a little later. Thirdly, one of the important themes we'll talk about today is around our high campus utilization and transitioning what have been licensed classrooms to our campuses to improve yield. Managing our classroom capacity as we've grown so strongly in FY 2023 is a very, very important theme and one of the big measures of success of FY 2023's performance. So I'll go through that in a bit of detail. Fourthly, our organic expansion investments are currently delivering and are expected to continue to deliver strong returns. So we're gonna talk a whole bunch around some of the geographic and course range expansion that we have done and that we have on the runway, and what that means from investor perspectives. Fifthly, we have considered alternative capital management strategies, as you would expect us to do. And given the current environment that we're currently trading in, we think it was important just to provide a little bit of an update around those considerations. So we'll touch on that a little later as well. And lastly, on this executive summary, there are really important external market factors in play at the moment, which are impacting NextEd's performance and driving some of our strategic and tactical activities. Some of these announcements are as recent as last Friday and Saturday by the Australian government. Very important themes that have been picked up on as recently as last week on, around improving the reputation and credentials of Australia's international student education industry in particular. So we'll talk about all those things during the course of the presentation. Firstly, though, we'll just touch on the FY 2023 results. So I'm going to turn to slide 5 of the results presentation pack. And we can see here, we did have quite exceptional FY 2023 financial performance. Revenues of 102.2 million, which was up 118% versus the prior year. EBITDA of 16.7 million, effectively quadrupling the previous year, 366% up. Operating cash flows are very strong, 25.2 million dollars, which is up 48% against the previous year. Driving a net profit after tax of 5.5 million. I think it's important to sort of point out here on our net profit after tax is that we have adjusted that for amortization in relation to the acquisition of RedHill Education towards the end of FY 2021. The annual amortization impact of that in FY 2023, which will also be a similar number in FY 2024, is 1.9 million dollars. So we are reporting on this slide an NPAT position, which has been adjusted for that acquisition intangible amount. Our cash at bank, 40.2 million dollars, which is a 10% increase on the previous financial year close, and importantly, no debt. What it does, when you compare the operating cash flow to our cash at bank position, you will see that it does therefore mean we've made some investments in FY23, and that is something that we'll talk about in this presentation as well. So the record revenue growth, very strong part of that is by the growth in our international student numbers. We'll talk through that later. Very strong operating leverage being achieved from the scale of the business and the way that we've been able to manage our campus utilizations as we've recorded that very strong growth in student numbers. So those two factors, scale and utilization, have underpinned strong EBITDA growth. And effectively, we've doubled the rate of EBITDA growth from 8% in FY22 to 16% in FY23. We'll talk about that later. And solid operating cash flows and cash position. And again, as I've mentioned, we've been making some expansion initiatives, investments, so we'll talk about that a bit future as well. Turning to slide six. So one of the things that we do in the business is we look at some of the indicators that we have available to us in terms of what and think about the impact they're going to have on performance. And there's no doubt, in conjunction with the strong FY23 results, that the lead indicator performance over the course of FY23 was also very strong. Our international student vocational new enrolments were over 200% up versus the previous year. Our actively studying English language student numbers were over 400% up against the previous year. And importantly, that also clearly indicates that NextAd has achieved market share growth in English language student numbers. Our actual English language student numbers, we'll talk on a little later, are still more than triple its pre-COVID peak for English language student numbers. And the Australian market certainly hasn't tripled since pre-COVID. Our deferred revenue balance, which is amounts that we effectively invoice and have students have paid or are due and payable, is also increased 142% year on year, and that is an indicator of future performance, which we'll talk about. We also operate a small international student agency called Go Study Australia. We have offices in Europe and South America, and we're generating leads for not only NextEd but for hundreds of other colleges around Australia. So the recruitments coming from the Go Study office as a division has also increased 125% in the June 23 quarter versus the PCP quarter being June 22. All these lead indicator measures in FY23 are part of why the FY23 results were record numbers. I'm now going to let Michael take us through the next couple of slides.
Thank you, Glenn, and I'd like to add my welcome to today's call. Revenue increased by $55.4 million, or 118% versus the prior corresponding period, with the majority of the growth being driven from the international vocation segment, in particular Greenwich English, following the rapid increase in student numbers from 1,531 in June 22 to just over 6,500 students in June 2023. EBITDA more than quadrupled from $3.6 million in the prior period to $16.3 million in FY23 year, driven by strong revenue growth and positive operating leverage generated from better classroom utilisation and efficiencies in back office operations. These efficiencies resulted in the EBITDA margin more than doubling from 7.6% to 16.3%. I'd also like to point out that FY23 is a clean result and there is no normalisation adjustments. In the prior corresponding period, M&A costs of $3.2 million were included as a normalisation adjustment. Moving on to slide 8. Operating cash flows also grew strongly in FY23, up $8.2 million versus FY22 to $25.2 million. $6.1 million was invested in capital projects, mostly campus facilities, to cater for the rapid growth in student numbers, and we'll go into this in some more detail later in the presentation. Financing costs of $9.1 million mostly relate to lease payments over our campus facilities. Cash balances, including funds on deposit supporting bank guarantee facilities associated with leased properties, increased from $30.2 million in June 22 to $40.2 million in June 2023. Moving on to slide 9 and the balance sheet. NextEd has a clean balance sheet, with total cash balances increasing by approximately $10 million during FY23, as mentioned on the previous slide. I'd also point out that NextEd has no financial debt. At balance date, approximately $28 million was held on term deposits with major Australian banks. The other main balance sheet item is contract liabilities. This represents student funds paid or due and payable for future studies. This amount has continued to grow strongly in the second half of 23 and is a key indicator of future revenues. The majority of this balance is expected to roll off and be recognised in revenue over the next 4 to 6 months. This strong foundation provides NextEd with the ability and capacity to invest in organic growth initiatives as well as smaller scale strategic M&A opportunities. And I'll now hand back to Glenn.
Thanks, Michael. So turning to slide 10, so NextEd Group has quality campuses located in Australia's most desirable eastern seaboard metropolitan addressable markets. And we're very pleased to report to the market that at the end of the FY23 financial year, our aggregate campus network was at approximately 95% utilised. And that is, as I said earlier, one of the drivers of the operating leverage that we've achieved in terms of EBITDA. And I think also importantly, and we'll touch a little bit on in the next slide, is around how we've managed our campus expansion in conjunction with some shorter term tactical moves around licensed classrooms and how that has got us to this 95% utilization. But at no point along the way have we had to say that we're full and not being able to service customer needs. There's a couple of things that have happened in FY23 which are an important part of the why the campus utilization being actively managed was important for us. And it's not just the increase in the number of students, which we've certainly experienced, but we've also needed to bring all of our international students that were doing online studies, which for us, which was a lot of our vocational programs, from 1 July this year, we needed to bring them back on campus. So we've been able to be pretty smart with the way we've managed our timetabling, being daytime, evening and weekend timetabling. But as part of bringing campuses online, it's been planning for that transition back to post-COVID world when face-to-face delivery for international students is required. And we've been able to very successfully manage that part of bringing students back into the classroom. The other important thing, of course, is we have launched new courses. So when you are launching new programs and new courses to new cohorts, you need to give them a classroom. So as you're managing the growth and the expansion of the number of courses as well, it just adds to why your classroom timetabling planning becomes really important. The last point on this slide, and again, this is sort of a segue more so into the next slide as well, is at the end of June 2023, we had 45 licensed classrooms. So these are off-site, they're outside of our normal campuses, they're month-to-month or week-to-week in some instances, and we are planning in transitioning 33 of those classrooms back to our leased classroom premises by the end of this calendar year. So if I then turn on to slide 11, which was really looks at what that means, is that our short-term licensed classrooms have been used by NextEd Group to manage student overflow and flex. It has provided us the ability to flex as our student numbers have continued to grow strongly and we've launched courses and new geographies and launched into new locations. But we do believe that over the medium to longer term, to improve the student experience and to improve profit margins, transitioning those licensed classrooms back to our core campuses is an important activity. The last point, and you'll see here that we're looking to do a lot of that transition between June and December this year. Look, the reality is if market conditions change and we do need to keep some of those licensed classrooms that we currently have, or we need to find more, we will. We've got a good track record now to be able to do so, and it does provide us that flex, that ability to quickly flex up and flex down, which is something we do think is important for us to be able to do. I'm now going to hand back to Michael to take us through some of the segment results.
Thanks, Glenn. Okay. I'll start firstly with Go Study. And Go Study pleasingly increased our increased revenue in the second half of 23 over the first half and the prior comparative period. On a like-for-like basis, full-year FY23 revenue grew approximately 16% versus the PCP. As expected, offshore revenue grew faster than onshore revenues as international students returned to Australia. EBITDA in the first half of 23 was impacted by the investment in reopening overseas offices and increasing employee numbers to service the growing demand from prospective international students. As anticipated, GoStudy generated positive EBITDA in the second half of the year. Australian revenue was generated from new students recruited onshore and from students who were originally recruited overseas and chose to extend their studies once they had completed their initial course. This revenue was negatively impacted by the 408 COVID visa, with some potential students instead opting to take up a 408 visa instead of studying. And Glenn will touch on this point a little bit later in the presentation. Importantly, students recruited by GoStudy into NextEd international vocation courses generated revenues of approximately $4 million in FY23. These revenues and the associated profits are recognised in the international vocation segment, and these students are some of the most profitable students as we have internalised the external recruiting costs associated with recruiting those students. Turning to slide 14. On international vocation. International vocation delivered exceptional results in FY23, with revenue increasing by 157% on a like-for-like basis to $74.7 million. In particular, English language revenues grew from $7.5 million in FY22 to $55.9 million, a phenomenal 640%. This revenue growth, coupled with effective operating leverage, resulted in EBITDA almost quadrupling from $5 million in FY22 to $19.4 million in FY23. I'd like to emphasise that NextEd maintains a broad mix of student nationalities and source countries. We have partnerships with approximately 500 student agencies globally, and we're not dependent on any one region or nationality. NextEd does not source English language students from the Indian subcontinent or mainland China. NextEd does have students from the subcontinent undertaking vocational courses, the majority of which are sourced onshore. I'll now turn to slide 15 and our domestic vocational business. FY23 was a year of transition for the domestic vocational business, with a focus on delivering profitable courses combined with centralising and streamlining business operations to create efficiencies across the brand portfolio. These changes have resulted in EBITDA increasing 67% to $1.9 million and EBITDA margin expanding from 11.4% to 23.5% of revenues in FY23. A newly restructured functional management team has reprioritised the business to focus on curriculum areas, exploring workforce shortages, including healthcare, community services, hospitality, business and management courses. Domestic vocational healthcare courses will be launched in Melbourne in October this year, and the South Australian healthcare business, which currently generates the majority of the healthcare revenue, will benefit from the opening of the new Adelaide campus in late 2023. I'll now move to slide 16 and the technology and design business. Revenue and technology and design in the second half of FY23 was impacted by two main issues. Firstly, a lack of students enrolling during COVID to replace those who are now graduating. And secondly, new students who commenced their courses at AID being coached by vocational providers where the student could undertake cheaper, shorter courses. Despite these challenges, full year revenue grew 11% and EBITDA was up 50% versus the PCP. Over the weekend, the Australian government announced with immediate effect measures to prevent students switching from higher education courses to other courses within 6 months of their arrival in Australia. We welcome this announcement, and Glenn will have a little bit more to say on this later in the presentation. With a range of higher ed and vocational courses and access to both international and domestic student cohorts, NextEd has a lot more options than many competitors in the sector. And I'll now hand back to Glenn.
Thanks, Michael. So we'll now shift focus a little bit and think about the future. I'll turn to slide 18, which is looking at FY24 financial guidance. The guidance we've provided for FY24 takes a conservative stance that the temporary COVID-19 408 visa remains in place for all of that financial year. When it does end, it is likely to trigger the situation where English language students extend their studies instead of jumping out onto the 408 visa, and that completing English language students who've demonstrated the right level of language proficiency progress onto vocational courses instead of jumping onto the 408 visa. So with that in mind, NextEd reconfirms its guidance that revenues for the half year ending to 31 December 2023, so H1 of FY24, will be in the range of $59 to $63 million, which is a range of 35 to 44% higher than the previous comparative half year. Absent any major external shocks, NextEd expects that the H2 FY24 revenues will be higher than both H1 FY24 and the PCP H2 of FY23. The impacts of the continuation of the temporary COVID-19 408 visa on H2 of FY24 is difficult to quantify given the positive mitigating actions, many of which we already have underway. It's important to note that visa does only affect international students and that we are currently expecting the International Vocational Division to grow its revenue and EBITDA in FY24. And you can see we're confident around that when you triangulate it back to the number of English language students that we currently have and still expect to have over the next few months, at least, and then some of the other growth metrics year on year that we're going to talk about. In addition to looking to get growth in the International Vocational Division, we are expecting the Domestic Vocational Division revenues and EBITDA to also grow in FY24. And even though we're talking about there are some major shocks that could happen around visa changes or pandemics or other things, we at NextEd are taking very conscious efforts to control what can be controlled, and for the things we can control, doing them well. I'm now going to turn to slide 19, looking at some of our campus expansions. So in June 2022, we opened our new Brisbane campus. Very pleased to report that campus delivered $6 million of revenue and $1.7 million of pre-AASB 16 EBITDA in FY23. We had over 1,100 students at the Brisbane campus at the end of June, and as of last Friday, we had over 1,200 students at that Brisbane campus. The investment in fitting out and launching of that Brisbane campus was around $3 million at the time, and we expect that investment to be fully paid back within under 2 years. If you then look at the other recent campus expansion activity we've done as well as Brisbane. So we have been expanding our Sydney campuses and our Melbourne campus. And for similar reasons as noted on the Brisbane campus, we're expecting to achieve incremental EBITDA, again, pre-AASB 16 EBITDAs, which provide payback on those capital investments in under 2 years. So pretty compelling in terms of use of capital in NextEd's view. I mentioned a little earlier that from the 1st of July this year, all international students were required to return to face-to-face classroom delivery for at least 2/3 of their courses. And we planned for that. And even though we have had to open up more classrooms for those returning students, and these are particularly vocational courses, because we'd already brought back our English language courses, we're able to do that efficiently using evening slots and weekend slots and they're leaving the bulk of our day slots for some of the English language classes where we saw some pretty extraordinary growth in student numbers. So they're the campus investments that we've done and we've opened and launched, and they're underway. From an upcoming perspective, we've touched on this a little bit as well, we are expecting to relocate into a larger Adelaide campus in November this year to support the expected growth in student numbers in domestic, which Michael's touched on, but also it's going to enable us to launch English language and vocational courses to international students in the appealing Adelaide market. And our view is it will be a similar experience to what we've seen in Brisbane when we launch our existing brands into a new market for international students, but through our supply chain power and our brand positioning and our brand reputation, gain traction in those markets pretty quickly. So we're feeling very confident that the relocation, you know, of our Adelaide campus will support the student experience and growth for domestic students, but give us a great new revenue generation opportunity by expanding into international student delivery in Adelaide for the first time. We've also we've announced previously that we're going to relocate our Gold Coast campus in early 2024. Again, that's about supporting the existing courses that we deliver in the Gold Coast in this existing smaller campus, but will enable us to launch more courses and go hard in that other appealing addressable market. Slide 20, and I'll hand you back to Michael just to talk you through some of the CapEx implications of our expansions.
Thanks, Fred. At the half year 23 results presentation, guidance was provided for full year CapEx to be approximately 9.3 million. Actual spend in during the financial year was 6.1, with some of the costs associated with the Melbourne expansion and Gold Coast relocation now to be incurred in FY24. I'm pleased to advise that the Melbourne expansion has been completed, and we welcomed the first intake of students into hospitality courses last Monday, the 21st of August. It's important to note that the investments in Sydney, Melbourne and Brisbane will replace 33 of the 45 existing licensed classrooms where NextEd already has students, thus improving yield, margin and the student experience. Once the expansion projects are complete, NextEd has the flexibility to promptly exit licensed premises if required to do so. As noted earlier in the presentation, by relocating from the existing suboptimal premises in Adelaide and the Gold Coast to quality campuses, we're well placed to launch new courses in these attractive markets. Back to you, Glenn.
So touching on new courses. So we had launched 6 vocational certificate diploma hospitality and cookery courses for international students in FY23 in Perth, Brisbane and Gold Coast. And we've launched those hospitality courses into Sydney and Melbourne this month. Interestingly, what we're seeing with these particular course ranges is that they're more resilient to students stepping away to jump on the 408 than some of the other programs we're delivering. So I think what we're seeing here is that the students that are looking to focus on their skills and focus on a skilled job outcome are definitely more likely to go the traditional pathway of finishing their English language and then going into our hospitality and cookery courses so that they can then go on to skilled jobs at the end of that and not just relying on the unskilled work that the 408 visa allows them for the time being. We were also pleased to announce that we're launching healthcare courses in the Melbourne market this October for domestic students. So this will be effectively a new market for our existing programs. So again, an opportunity for us to penetrate new markets and gain more market share by through geographical expansion. Lastly, on this slide, we do expect to announce further course range expansions for courses that we will launch in early calendar year 2024. We have applications currently sitting with the regulators and which are pending regulatory approval. And once those regulatory approvals are obtained, we've got our ducks lined up to be able to get the marketing and launch of those programs done pretty quickly. Back to you, Michael.
Okay. Thanks, Glenn. Okay. I'll touch on the international student initiatives to underpin future enrolments. NextEd has proven agile and quick to adapt in the past, and there's a number of priority actions underway to underpin international student enrolments. These include the campus expansions in Adelaide, Gold Coast, Sydney and Brisbane to cater for current and future students, course range expansion in major markets, including hospitality in Sydney and Melbourne, as well as English language in Adelaide. We will expect to have more to say on course range expansion once some regulatory approvals have been received. We're working with our agents to have an offer that is tailored to students or to those students who wish to undertake a short period of study before intending to move to a 408 visa. And we expect this to materialise in enrolment data from October onwards. We're adapting to the 408 visa holders' part-time study options. We note we've already received some first enrolments under this initiative. We continue to focus on source markets where students intend to pursue longer-term study. And to date, we've sent over 5,000 letters to our recent alumni with targeted promotional offers for them to return to undertake additional studies once they come off their 408 visa. What we're seeing so far in July and August enrolment data suggests that September will be relatively flat with June 23 quarter. However, there's a lot of moving parts with both the 408 visa impacts and the mitigating actions. Moving on to the next slide, slide 23. So NextEd's English language revenues will increase materially versus FY23. As Glenn mentioned earlier, at the beginning of at the end of June 23, we had approximately 6,500 students, and we expect to maintain in excess of 6,000 students at least until September 23. This number is materially above the 4,200 average English student numbers we had in the prior period. As noted earlier in the presentation, we have multiple strategies and tactical opportunities underway to underpin English language student numbers going forward. These include targeting nationalities that have traditionally lower levels of English language capability and thus require longer periods of study, and working with our agent network to ensure Greenwich is front of mind for those students who wish to study English with the aim of quickly moving to a 408 visa. And this is a potential volume opportunity for us. As this happens, we expect that the typical duration of study for English language students to reduce. I'll hand back to you now, Glenn.
Right, so on to capital management. So given NextEd current share price and cash position, we've been completed detailed modelling and analysis of alternative uses of capital, including what you would expect, dividends, investing in organic growth, M&A activity, and even share buybacks. So I've got a couple of points I just want to make here. Firstly, around organic growth. So I've made some comments already that our organic growth investments are delivering cash paybacks of circa 2 years. So in terms of our intentions moving forward, we see that as a good use of funds for investing in future course range expansion and geographic expansion where we see NextEd is well positioned to be able to compete. We've talked a little bit today about our licensed classrooms where we've needed them to manage flex and overflow. But the reality is to achieve optimal yield, it's better for us to transition those classrooms back to our leased premises. And by moving the students back into our main leased campuses, it actually improves yield for each classroom by about 20%. So managing the flex has been a very tactical, sensible thing to do. And tactically, it also makes sense for us now to get them into our campuses, which is another way to think about our use of funds moving forward. From an M&A perspective, given NextEd's current share price, we intend to prioritise small-scale strategic M&A in the near term. From a dividend perspective, I think we've made some comments around these in the past. We've declared none in relation to FY23. If you look at the NextEd balance sheet, we have minimal franking credits. We have material carry forward tax losses of around $26 million, which means that we're not going to add to our franking account and pay any frank dividends anytime soon. Lastly on this page, looking at share buybacks, we've looked at most recent analyst consensus numbers, which there were five analysts that released reports on the 18th of August. And our analysis shows that buybacks using spare cash at the current prices would be dilutive. So therefore, not sensible at this time. I'm now going to turn to slide 25 and just touch on some external market forces, a few of which we've referenced throughout this presentation. We're seeing increasing government activity as recently as last Friday and Saturday with some important announcements. And the release that was put out on Saturday also said, because it was a joint minister's announcement, and it also indicated there's more to come. They're not done yet. So where are we at? So that we've talked a bit about the temporary COVID-19 408 visa in this release and in our previous release a week or so ago. We are putting a lot of mitigating factors in place, and Michael touched on a few of those a little earlier today. And we are placing ourselves in as strong as possible position to prepare to capture that student demand when that visa arrangement changes. NextEd welcomes the Australian government announcement last Friday to strengthen the rules to eliminate non-genuine operators who fail to deliver proper education. And that includes this whole concept of ghost classrooms, which have been in the press recently. And I think it's important to point out that NextEd is known for requiring students to attend classes, as is required by legislation and the regulations. And we're known for delivering quality learning experiences. We're not cheap. We have more premium pricing. So that means that non-genuine students see us as being less appealing in the first instance, purely based on our pricing strategy. We also report students that don't turn up to class or don't progress or breach their visas. And the agent networks that we work with to send the bulk of our international students know that that's how we behave. So if they're looking for a less scrupulous pathway for a student, they don't even consider us, because they know if a student comes to a NextEd program that there's certain ways that we are going to behave as an organisation, and how we expect our students to behave to be in compliant with their visa legislative and regulatory requirements. I've touched on the Joint Minister's announcement, which came out on Saturday. So, very timely for this report, I suppose. And we welcome the Australian government's announcement, which confirmed that they were, with immediate effect, removing this concept of concurrent COEs, which are confirmation of enrolments. So Michael touched on a little earlier, particularly in relation to our technology and design division, students have been dropping out of higher education courses within 6 months of starting those higher education courses and moving into short vocational courses of all sorts of cheap and cheerful things so they can work. So that is something that the government has now said is a no-go and has stopped with immediate effect from today. I think it's important probably to point out that in terms of what the impacts on our technology and design division, I wouldn't expect to see any positive impacts of that until at least the latter part of the H2 of FY24, given that announcement only came out on Saturday. Second point in that announcement on Saturday is that they're looking to increase international student savings that they to get a student visa. Look, to be honest, this is pretty sensible stuff. There was no indexing of that savings amount since 2019. The students realistically need to have some money set aside when they arrive in Australia for living costs and accommodation, and so that they can genuinely fund the cost of their courses. So this is an initiative that NextEd welcomes, and I don't believe it's going to have any impact on demand on Australia or on NextEd. In terms of students choosing to come to Australia as a destination of study or choosing to come to NextEd as their preferred education provider. And the third point that came out on Saturday is around increasing scrutiny on high-risk student cohorts and education providers. And again, look, there's been a whole bunch of media. Most people on this call have probably been reading about unscrupulous providers with ghost colleges and students that are using these ghost colleges as a way to not study, but to get into Australia and undertake work. So I think the government tightening up on this is welcome, and it will protect the integrity of the Australia's international education system over time. The announcement on Saturday pointed out that the international education sector is Australia's fourth largest export earner. It's important. So these steps are sensible steps to be taken. And again, the last point that was made in that press release on Saturday is that there's more to come. I welcome that. And in my view, the elephant in the room is the 408 visa. So, and there is I can assure you there is much lobbying being done by the sector and through individual companies like NextEd and through our association bodies, trying to get in front of as many people as possible to help provide a what we think a good solution might look like moving forward. So it's a bit of a watch this space. Slide 26, the summary. Look, so we've touched on all of these things that in FY23, NextEd has provided shareholders with $25 million of cash flow generation from our doubling of revenues, delivering an EBITDA of more than 4.6 times the previous year, and reversing what was a negative NPAT in FY22 to being a materially positive NPAT in FY23. From these financial results and the activities that we've undertaken through FY23, we've got strengthened foundations. We've managed our classroom capacity very effectively. We've managed expansion into high demand courses through ELICOS hospitality and aged care courses. We've also managed those into new geographic markets. And we've delivered positive operation leverage from the scaling up of our operations, as well as making sure that we're being very cautious and doing a good job in managing classroom utilisation. So we believe at NextEd that these foundations will see us weather the exogenous shocks, and in some cases we'll benefit from those shocks because of our ability and agility and demonstrated track record of being pretty agile and aggressive when we need to be. Our capital management strategies currently favour organic growth versus doing material M&A or dividends or share buybacks. And NextEd welcomes the just announced government actions, which I've just touched on before, which encourage genuine international students and constrain the non-genuine students and operators. And I had to have a chuckle to myself on the weekend when the word shonky was used four times in a government press release. I'm now going to hand proceedings over to Kylie Ransom from GRA Causeway to take us through the Q&A section.
Thanks very much, Glenn. So I'll now open the briefing to questions online. If you would like to submit a question, please do so by clicking the hand in the top right corner of the webcast player. So we'll now move to the first question, which is actually three questions. I'll ask each of them separately, so you've got the opportunity to respond. OPEX growth, second half versus first half, was 13%. Can we expect this to taper into FY24?
Look, our OPEX growth in the P&L, there's probably one main area that's in there, which is the non-academic salaries. The cost of the campuses appear in depreciation and interest below EBITDA. So we've seen an increase in the leverage that we've achieved over the prior corresponding period. And that's largely because we're getting a better return on our fixed cost growth. Now, there will be some costs that will grow with during the course of this year, but we're not expecting that to grow materially into next year.
The second question, international vocational second half EBITDA margin looked to be 28%. Is this a useful guide looking forward?
EBITDA margin?
That's right.
Yeah. The way I think about when you're looking at our margins in our business, I'd encourage people to look at the individual segments and look at the disclosures that we've made in the Appendix 4E, where there is you can model a P&L out, and we've given the various impacts on that. I would think that, yeah, looking forward, taking some of the information that we've given, our gross margins tend to stay reasonably similar year on year, which you would have seen through the 4E as well. And taking my comments just earlier on that fixed cost growth, we would see it's a reasonable expectation to maintain that type of level of margin.
The third question, with the new course offerings, could you provide a bit more detail on how you think these are targeting domestic, international, vocational cohorts? Is there a bias to international?
So you need to look at, when you're looking at the vocational courses, international students, you're really looking at the skills they're looking to achieve. And I do believe more and more international students are looking at courses which will give them an opportunity to move on to a migration pathway if that's which they wish to choose. So it's skills for jobs, and in some cases jobs to migration is the way I would look at the rate of demand or the opportunity for demand for international students. Now the concept of demand for domestic students is quite similar. So domestic students are looking to get jobs and careers. I think the other point to reference for both domestic and international students is, are they looking at where the job opportunities are likely to exist? And there's no doubt with the courses that we offer, and even ones that we will likely consider offering in the future that we're not, which we don't yet offer, we're seeing emerging workforce shortages and strong demand for graduates to fill those workforce shortages, not only now, but into the future based on sort of projections from some of those industries. So when you're looking at where workforce shortages are in Australia right now, and again, there's lots of stuff in the press about this, it definitely appeals for both an international student cohort and a domestic student cohort. So the opportunity for us is to deliver similar courses to both of those cohorts, which also just means that we're getting better utilisation of our facilities, our campuses and our facilities.
Okay, the next question is a three-part question. I'll read all the questions at once. Can you talk through the price difference between licensed classrooms to core campus classrooms? Then can you also talk through what you're seeing in terms of Ella cost pricing and student numbers? I'll leave the next one if you want to respond to that.
Yeah, so I'll start with the first one, which is just around licensed classroom. I said that when you look at a classroom in isolation, we've done some back of envelope numbers just which confirm in our mind that when you pay a week to week or a month to month rate for a standalone licensed classroom, you pretty much know exactly what the cost is. And when we compare that standalone classroom cost to what we would effectively be allocating as a cost to our classrooms within our campuses, you're looking at a premium for a licensed classroom of 20%. And some cases even more. So it's a fairly straightforward mechanical calculation for us to make when you're looking at our campus costs and the number of classrooms we have on our campuses. And then you sort of convert that back to your cost per day or per week or per month or whatever the case may be. And then comparing that to what we're actually paying for one of the short-term rooms. And that's where we come to that 20% differential.
Great. And the final part of that question was, are you expecting Ella cost student numbers to moderate in FY24?
In FY24, where we can see up to so far, we have put in the presentation that we expect around about 6,200 out until September. There is a potential influx of students that may come in through the 408 visa, but it's too early to really tell. And we would expect those enrolment numbers to show up from October onwards.
Next question, could you explain the rationale behind focusing on EBITDA as a metric for the business performance and growth when this does not take into account the large depreciation expense associated with campus leases?
I might start off, I'll let Michael chip in. It's one of the biggest frustrations we have in this industry. I will usually look in the first instance is pre-AASB 16 EBITDA. Call it old world EBITDA, I'm often called a dinosaur nowadays, but the reality is, old world EBITDA for us is a much better proxy for genuine operating profit, and it removes this accounting complexity of what used to be an operating overhead now going through the interest and amortization line. So I think when we talk EBITDA, We disclose it, of course, as required to under Australian accounting standards. Sometimes we will reference back to pre-AASB 16 EBITDA because the reason we do that is because if I'm looking at running an efficient and effective business, that is a better way and a better proxy of looking at your genuine profitability. If you'll add to that, Michael.
Yeah, thanks, Glenn. Probably the other thing which I'd just add to that is what we've included for the first time in this full year results is an NPATA calculation. So it basically shows our net profit after tax adjusted for the amortization of acquired intangibles. And I think this is a much better proxy for our after tax performance and actual returns. So I think it's actually important to look at that metric as well as EBITDA, which obviously does take into account depreciation and interest.
Next question, can you explain concurrent COE? What does that actually mean? Page 25.
Yep.
Can you provide a bit more detail?
Yeah, sure. So what an international student was able to do up until today was that they could have a letter of a confirmation that they've enrolled into a bachelor degree course, which is a higher education visa. But sitting in the background, they could also have a confirmation of enrolment into a vocational certificate or diploma course. So it's one of the quirks of the legislative environment which has enabled the international students to do that. That is not something which was new. It was something that was in place pre-COVID, this concept of concurrent COEs. And you would have seen, for those who go away and read the press release from the government over the weekend, they've only really seen the abuse of that concept of being able to have effectively two pathways of study being abused since the international borders because Australia reopened. So I think it's something that was always a feature of the industry before COVID, but it was never being abused. But now that it's being abused, I'm delighted that it is being scrapped. It never really made a lot of sense, frankly.
Glenn, if you're predicting English numbers to ramp up again from October, November, what can you base this on?
If just following on from Michael's comments that he's just made, is that Australia is still compelling. NextEd is still winning market share in the market. We've expanded our geographic footprint, and we've also just announced that we're expanding international courses into Adelaide and Newcastle and Gold Coast. And so we're not just relying on current campuses and facilities for growth over that period of time. So some of the growth will come from the fact we are continuing to expand geographically. The other part of the growth is what Michael's talking about earlier, which is based on what our agents are telling us and the way that they are now actively marketing Australia offshore, is that there are some students that will come to Australia with an intention of studying for a shorter period of time and using that as an opportunity to jump onto the 408 visa. So we're not afraid of that market. We will actively seek to penetrate that market. So what that does in terms of student numbers is, to Michael's point, is yet to be seen. And given that these are marketing initiatives which international student agencies have only realistically started to activate in recent weeks, because the industry didn't expect this 408 visa to still be in place by July. So even the agents are now starting to pivot their thinking, is that the student number growth, into English language student number growth, geographic expansion, and our active, aggressive, tactical approach to the 408 scenario as it currently stands.
So following on from that, next question, given the advantageous post-study work rights for tech and STEM HE courses, health education courses more generally, does NextEd see it as a strategic opportunity to provide more health education courses in the area?
We'll probably have more to say on this area in the future. Conceptually, yes. Yeah, so right now, international students that are doing aged care, for example, have unlimited working rights whilst they're undertaking their studies. So they are able to support the workforce demands whilst undertaking their courses in aged care. And I also think it's probably worth touching on the IT point. So within our bachelor degree program, our bachelors of in IT fields, which we deliver under the AIT brand, recently were accredited for extended working rights. So the current working right for a bachelor degree, it was extended during COVID from 2 years to 4 years. Post-COVID, for a standard course, came back to 2 years, and AIT is one of the few private providers that has actually just had its bachelor degree courses accredited for the extended 4 to 6 year post-study working rights upon completion of the bachelor degree. So I think what you have is a couple of dynamics. So more in the vocational sector, you'll see, to your point or to the other question, is there are some fields of study, particularly supporting where there are quite dramatic workforce demands, which we're already seeing that the working rights for students is being extended. So I think this is a bit of a watch this space in terms of what the government does next in that area. And then when you move to bachelor degrees, the same applies. So we're seeing it happen both in our vocational universe, but also in our higher education universe, where the government is looking to implement visa policy and post-study working right policy to support where the workforce demands are.
If the federal government gets rid of 408 visas, will it EBITDA impact on NextEd be significant?
Well, I think what we've seen during the last year was rapid growth, which was a positive situation for us, obviously. Look, it would be a good thing for us if this was removed. That should play through to our results.
Yeah, as I was saying earlier, we'd be ready to flex up as required. There's no doubt in my mind that if the 408 visa wasn't around, we'd have English language students doing longer periods of English language study and more students progressing from English language into vocational courses. So that more normal path to achieving a working outcome in Australia. So as Michael says, we will be ready to flex up as and when required. We've done it before.
Right, we've got three questions here from asker. You may have already answered this question, the course cross-sell. Given that the 408 visa loophole has highlighted that there is at least a proportion of students that appear to be less interested in study than perhaps we previously thought, have you lowered your expectations of being able to increase over the medium to longer term the percentage of your English students that move on to another vocational course from your historical average of 30%? And where do you think this percentage can increase to once the 408 visa loophole is closed?
Yeah, so I think directionally, in the guidance we provided for FY24, we've certainly reduced our assumptions around the proportion of English language students that progress into vocational courses. Because I mentioned earlier, we've assumed in that guidance that the 408 continues for the full FY24 period. I would expect that to lift.
Right.
If the visa ends.
The next question relates to M&A, and there's a couple of very similar questions on this. You have mentioned that you were looking at potential smaller scale M&A opportunities. Does this mean any M&A would need to be covered by your cash resources, or would you take on some debt or equity if required?
We'd still absolutely consider all the levers available to us. But debt, deferred settlement, earnouts, as well as cash. Certainly, at NextEd's current share price, we're factoring that into our thinking. So when you factor that into the thinking, you still think about all those other levers, but then you then churn it through to work through what actually makes sense.
And the next question from the same individual is on CapEx. You have provided guidance for FY24 CapEx of 12.5%. Million. Given the move into new courses, i.e. cookery, aged care, that require more CapEx than a simple English room, can you give us an indication of the relative CapEx cost per room of these newer course areas?
Yeah. Probably a way that I'd encourage people to look at it, we've given disclosures around where the CapEx is being spent in each of those individual areas. We've also given disclosures on the number of rooms in the location. Clearly, a commercial kitchen is a more expensive fit out than a standard classroom. And an aged care lab is somewhere in between that. But we haven't given specific details of those costs like that. But that is the way that we would think about it. And I'd encourage people to think about it is where we've announced the kitchens, which is basically Melbourne, where we've just put one in, as well as some classrooms there, is clearly a more expensive fit out than a classroom.
Probably the only thing I'd add to that is the cost of doing our hospitality and cookery courses are at a premium price. So if you look at the weekly tuition for use of a cooking classroom versus an English language classroom, you're looking at about a 30% premium of tuition pricing as well for the same number of students in the room.
The next question, can you please explain how the buyback is dilutive on EPS and why it's not in the interest of NextEd shareholders?
Yeah. What we did is we looked at the consensus NPAT of the five analysts published on the 18th of August, and then we looked at a range of different scenarios on a buyback and essentially then losing the amount of interest income which we would have and comparing that to purchasing shares. And on the calculations that we did, that was diluted.
We're actually at an hour now. Just want to check that you're happy to continue going. We've got a few more questions here.
Yeah, look, that's fine. We're happy to keep going.
How long do you think the federal government will take to cancel 408 visas?
That's I can't answer that. I wish I could. Absolutely wish I could. As I said, there's some positive signals out there, but that's all I can report at the moment.
Is it fair the way the depreciation and amortisation has to be accounted for in your business, and does it distort your profit as a result?
Well, we follow the accounting standards. I mean, I'm with Glenn. I don't like this standard, but I'm not a standard setter. So the former way that we used to do it was putting lease costs through as an operating expense, and EBITDA was a pretty good proxy for cash. Unfortunately, we can't report that way anymore. We have to comply with the standards, although I don't know anyone who really advocates for these standards. But whether it's fair or not, all I can tell you is that, yeah, we comply with the standards.
Will your acquisition strategy be focused on vocational courses?
I think when there's been some disclosures we've made in the past around what a potential attractive acquisition might look like, and when you think and you overlay that by thinking about the industry that we operate in, so things which look at geographic expansion, course range expansion, new like accessing new industry partnerships, etc. These are the things which are appealing where when you run the numbers through, an acquisition will more likely stack up versus doing things organically. Whenever we look at an acquisition opportunity, we're also looking at the costs or the almost the build versus buy scenario. And given our current campuses and supply chains and capabilities and the rest of it, there are a bunch of things that we believe we are better off doing through organic expansion other than M&A. So that's part A. But part B is that it's still a fragmented market out there. And there are players in the industry across all segments. So that's domestic versus international, vocational and higher education, and then a whole range of different curriculum areas that we can consider from an M&A perspective.
The next question, second half 23, NPATA was $4 million. Can this level of profitability be used as a guide for FY24 profitability given revenues are expected to grow in both first half and second half FY24?
Yeah, look, it's very early on in the year and we haven't given any guidance on NPAT and I think we'd be reluctant to do so. Now, what we have said is that the revenue in the first half will be above prior comparative period and the previous half year, and we've also expected growth in the second half FY24 revenue. So I think that's probably about as far as we'd be prepared to go today.
I think that that answers the majority of the questions. There are some questions which are similar to ones that have already been asked. So yeah, that concludes the question session. If you do have further questions, also please do contact Glenn or Michael directly or send your question via email to investors@nextdead.com.au. So I'd now like to hand over to Glenn for closing remarks.
Okay, no, thanks, Kylie. I appreciate that. Thanks, everybody on the call, for attending this morning. We look forward to seeing some of you over the next few weeks as we do our investor roadshows. Enjoy the rest of your day. Cheers.
This concludes today's conference call. Thank you for joining. You may now disconnect.